मैं परमेश्वर का धन्यवाद देना चाहता हूं कि आज ये मौका मुझे मिला आप लोगों के बीच में आने का और परमेश्वर के वचन को प्रचार करने का. By now you are thinking, what is he saying? I thought he was going to speak to us today, this morning. But this has been happening for ages, where God was trying to speak to his people. God was trying to speak to one of the greatest creations he had made, with whom he wanted to communicate, with whom he wanted communion. And we never could understand, till word became flesh and Jesus came down. Amen. Till he came down to live among us so that he can become our Emmanuel. The one that the world seeks, because I come from a country of India. I mean, 29 states, 1,615 languages, over 1.3 billion people. We joke about this in India, where 22 to 25 million children are born every year. That's roughly the population of Australia. So we have a joke. We say that we give birth to one Australia every year. I come from a city where there are people almost everywhere. You come out to our city, you see people in the buses, hanging outside the buses, sometimes on top of the buses. I pray that they are not under the buses. And someday they are. Someday is on a great day, you will see where people are getting on the buses and the stop comes and there is a guy running after the bus with a little leather pouch. People want to stop him and say, hey, what happened? Where are you going? He said, no, I need to catch the bus. He said, why you need to catch the bus? He said, no, I am the ticket collector. They pushed me out when the station came. We practice faith in our local trains. I mean, I love your trains and, the seating place and all that stuff. But I mean, sometimes it can get crowded from Paddington. But you can come to our trains and you can practice faith. Because you could be standing and going off to sleep and you're not going to fall. Because in just a small place, you can think about hundreds of people who are packed like sardines. And you could just go to sleep because you're not moving anywhere. Except you got to just be careful of the stops where you might be pushed out with the crowd and get up on the wrong stop or the wrong station. But apart from that, coming from India, I bring you greetings. And first of all, before even we start, I just wanted to thank this church for all that you have done over the years with BMS. All your giving, because you are in the business of plundering hell to populate heaven. Amen? Let's make no mistake. We are in the business of plundering hell to populate heaven. And I just want to bring you a big thank you from the people of India, whose lives are changing by every act of kindness from this church. In terms of, I just loved the way you started with the prayer and the time of prayer. I love this side where there's a quiet corner. I'm sure some of you must be praying around this place and meeting and talking. And I'm just so blessed that a lot of what we see moves on the wheels of prayer. Because the church of Jesus Christ moves on the wheels of prayer. And we want to give you thanks from BMS for all that you're doing with us in India, what you're doing with us across the world. And my brother Andy also already prayed how we are having initiatives in North Korea and different places where people are yet to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I come from that part of the world where every time your heart beats, two people die and go into a Christless eternity. Therefore, I want to take you into my message today. On November 22nd, 1963, a man was shot and he died on the streets of the United States. In 2 hours, the rest of the world had known about his death. 2,000 years ago, the Son of God was crucified outside the walls of Jerusalem. 2,000 years have gone, and yet half of the world is yet to hear about his death. What a paradox. I remember when the first time the Americans had sent people to the moon, one of the guys later became a believer, Neil Armstrong. And when he was up there, and there were the radio, they were having these chat sessions, and they were giving commentaries, and the TVs, the news was talking about them, and they were sharing and saying that one small step from these guys was a huge leap for mankind. And yet, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator, left his throne and came down to earth to be like a man so that he could be the perfect sacrifice so that humans could stand before the glory of God. And yet, half of the world is yet to hear about that news. What a paradox. The company Coke sells over 800 to 900 million cups of Coke every day all across the globe. And they have a slogan and a plan and a vision that by the year 2020, anybody who's anybody would have tasted Coca-Cola. Therefore, I have a question to pose this morning to my brothers and sisters here. Is Jesus living water less quenching than Coca-Cola? Is Jesus living water less quenching than Coca-Cola? 100 times no, 1,000 times no, but yet people have not heard this news. And that is because I count myself responsible. And we who have been saved, we have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, have not preached the gospel with passion and urgency. And therefore we come back to this scripture this morning, where God was talking about us going out so that we, his children who are called by his name, would make an impact to the world we live in. Because Jesus talks about seeing the world hearing the gospel in Matthew chapter 28, 8, 18 and 19, which we have read. Mark 16, 25, 16, 15. Luke 24, 47. John 26, 21. Acts 1, 8, about five times. He is continuously reminding his people that we need to go. We need to go. And therefore, if I just took out Matthew 28, and I know you have heard this scripture many, many times, I just want to draw attention to three P's. I love this sound, really, because most of the time I preach or speak in marketplaces. So when you're standing in the marketplace and everybody's moving around, and then you are saying, you know what Jesus said, and in between a guy is thinking of saying 20 rupees for tomatoes, potatoes are, so all that's on. And when I get into a church where people are quiet and we are competing with silence, I start getting nervous. That's why you see I wear very loose clothes, so that if my knees are fellowshipping with each other, you will never know that. So please talk to me in between. We are smiling and we are saying, and you can just talk back and say, yeah, Ben, we hear you. We are hearing you here. Amen. Can you just turn to somebody saying, we are hearing you. Yes. Great. Here we have in Matthew 28, just three P's. And I love this because I just want to show you quickly. The first P, he says, all authority is given unto me. My sister read. Amazing. All authority is given unto me. He talked about provision. Provision. All provision that you may need. Then, talks about, see the latter part of the Great Commission. He says, therefore go, that is the purpose. And then the last part, lo, I am with you even unto the ends of the earth. I am with you the whole time. And the go is not a destination. The only thing in the Great Commission that you and I are called to do is the P, which is the purpose. So the first part God does, provision. The last part is the promise, which God does. The only part that you and I do is the purpose in the Great Commission. And I love that. Even as I read many times, I said, God, you're doing most of it. I just need to do the purpose, because you say, therefore go. There is a journey that you are in. Therefore go and make disciples. And that's what BMS is involved in India, in making a disciple-making movement. And I'll tell you more even as we go, ahead in the story. Because God knew the only way to cleanse the defilement of sin and to abolish the death of sin is that we would preach the gospel, the good news, fulfill the Great Commission in our generation with passion and urgency. In the Times magazine, some time ago, they had given some startling statistics, which I want to share with you this morning. They were saying, in the recorded human history of 5,560 years, there has been 14,531 wars. So that means there's been 2.6 wars every year of the recorded human history. And somebody asked, how much did this wars cost? And the Norwegian computer had the answer for this. And it said that it costed $0.54 and 54 BC to kill one enemy soldier. In 54 BC, it costed 54 cents to kill one enemy soldier. During Napoleon's time, it costed $3,000 to kill one enemy soldier. Now, this is the aggregate cost of the war. In the First World War, it costed $21,000 to kill one enemy soldier. In the Second World War, the aggregate cost of the war, it costed $200,000 to kill one enemy soldier. And the computer went on to say that if there's a Third World War, it will cost $1 million to kill one enemy soldier. These are just startling figures, and I have a very difficult time believing this. Till I go back to history and see in 1968 and 69, at the height of the Vietnam War, the American government was spending $80 to $100 million for one enemy soldier. For one day to fight that war in Vietnam. It's crazy to think $80 to $100 million for a day. The world is ready to spend millions and billions and trillions of dollars to take life. The question today that faces us as the Church of Jesus Christ, what are we willing to do to save life? What are we willing to do to save life? When Jesus said, all power has been given to me. Some translation says all power. Some translation says all authority. All authority is given unto me. When Jesus is saying all authority is given, all power is given unto me, He is thinking about all supplying power that you and I may ever need to fulfill the Great Commission in our generation. I do remember starting life, I'm a banker. Still, I've not changed dressing like a banker. I was just asking my friends, am I too overdressed for this morning? This used to be a banker when God called me. My family comes from a witch doctor background, grandfather witch doctor, got saved crazy way. My father was almost dying. Somebody just said, and not a pastor or a preacher, just a doctor, Christian doctor, just said, if you believe in Jesus, you'll be healed. And he got healed. He had a vision. My grandfather, from my mother's side, very lucrative business they had. They were train robbers and bank robbers. As I told you that I worked in a bank, I did not tell them what my family business was. You know, I thought that may not hold much water. saying that I want to work in your bank, and my family robs banks, and that may not have been good. And they come from a different background, and you know, first generation Christians. And I grew up, and later on I was called Benjamin Francis. I have a huge problem every time I come into England and they look at my passport and they say, "You, Benjamin Francis?" Then I start saying, "You know what? God just touched my family and the power of God." He said, "Okay, welcome. Please come." I said, "You know, this is what I wanted to tell you. Let me tell you what happened." Acha, by the way, sir, Andy, good question to you. I am looking at the clock, but I don't know when to stop. All right. No, because this is a time. Because, you know, in India, we say, "You have the watches, we have the time." No, but we are not going to do that. Just tell me when to stop and I will get there. Because I'm a small Honda engine just starting up. Just warming up. So, great. You know, can you all say, "Come on now"? Come on. Yeah, that's right. Don't be too quiet on this. Let's do it right. 1, 2, 3. Great. We got there and he said, and this is the background I am in. And then God, you know, God has only children and no grandchildren. Amen. We have to do our own growing, no matter how tall our grandfather was. And that's where I was. And I had in 1989 when God invaded my life, I say. And then God shared with me what I'm doing today of going and doing disciple making movements in villages in India and different parts of South Asia. I just walked away because when God shared with me, I was going to be an MU, manufacturing unit of missionaries. I didn't want to tell anybody because if I tell my friends who are 18 years, they're saying, "What are you smoking, pal? What's wrong with you?" So what I did, what a good matured Christian does. I come to church, sit on the second last row. I have my spot exactly there. I said, "God, this is me. That's you. No closer than this. This is it. I'll put some money in the offering. I'll do my tithing, but that's it." You know, good is the worst enemy of the best. We are sometimes very good, but not doing the best. Great Commission is about doing the best, not doing good. And I thought good was great because it took me 11 years. Talk about a Jonah. 11 years since 1989 till God had to catch me by my hair. And now you know. Now you know why I have this interesting hairstyle. And really, this is where I am. And at that point, and I'm leaving the bank, and I'm getting falling in love with this amazing girl, Jillian. And she knows I'm in a bank, so we are friendly. She's the only one saved, getting to church because she was from a Catholic family. We're getting married. They're already not liking me so much. And this guy is always in the Bible, opening the Bible. All this, there's a whole different thing happening there. And then in between all of that, I had to go to Jill to tell her, "Honey," actually I didn't say honey because I didn't know whether she wanted to be my honey or not. After what I had to tell her is that I'm going to leave my job. I don't know. I won't have a paycheck from tomorrow. I'll be on the street because no church is going to ever take me to hire me because I don't even have a Bible degree. You know, a degree to do, you know, go out and work in a church. And he saw I was out there on the street. And I was going to Jill and said, I will not have an income. I have no post in the church. Or I just be on the streets of Calcutta. Would you still want to marry me?" And, you know, I worked hard at that because I really was showing how much I loved her because I wanted to be there. And in fact, I wanted to take flowers every day. And some days I didn't have money because those days when you leave your work. And so between her home and my home, I had a cemetery. And I mean, what can I say? I mean, crazy, but this is great because one day I was looking for flowers and didn't have the money. I saw a coffin go back and just excellent flowers. And I thought, that guy will not need it. Maybe it will help my love life. So I go out there and get some flowers and take, and Jill was ecstatic. Wow, great flowers. The only problem I faced during those days is when Jill would tell me, "Ben, what kind of flowers are you going to bring tomorrow?" And I scratched my head. I said, I don't know who's going to die, what they're going to, how they're going to get, or what kinds will come. I have no clue, Ben. I mean, I have no clue, Jill. I couldn't tell her this till 15 years later. I was in a service like this. I was saying this story. I forgot she was sitting. Needless to say, I had a very hard time at the lunchtime. But crazy. Good that she's not here. Jenny, you're not allowed to tell her. I said the story again. She comes this week to be with us as a family next few weeks. But during that time, Jill and that all that was happening. And Jill told me Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all our needs according to his. Yes, amen. And all these years, 15 years have gone by in ministry, and over 23,000 churches all across Asia, with thousands of people who are working, lay people who are working on an everyday basis. And I can still stand in front of you and tell you, my God shall supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And God just starts changing because of the good news, the great commission. And we see when Jesus said, all power is given unto me, he meant all supplying power that you and I may ever need. We have something very simple that we do with BMS. And I just, Matt, you want to help me with the picture? The first thing that we ever went to a village. I just want to show you. We started doing some simple sports to attract attention. And I'm not saying you do this in England, but there is something that attracts attention here. That may not be the same in the villages in India or doing something in Cambodia, Vietnam, different places of South Asia. But we started doing sports and people started coming out. And then mothers would come out and we would do something with the girls. In the next picture, Matt, girls coming out. You know, in our villages, there would be girls who are 13 and 14 and 15 who are already mothers because they got married. They have to be married very early. It's just crazy that they're still little girls. They want to be playing. So they would come out and play, and we would have a crowd. After that, the first day ever, I stood up and said, hey, would you want to see a movie if we want to show you? And they said, okay. So we put on a bed sheet, white bed sheet on bamboos, and cranked up a projector, the next one. Can we go to the next picture? Let's take it to the next picture. These are the medical camps. I'll tell you what that is later. Matt, a projector like that, one of those old style projectors, and put up the movie. And I saw people watching movie. I was thinking, what is going to happen? I need to speak. I need to preach a message. I was very nervous because I thought in my church I'd heard 3 C's, 4 A's, or you know, I was thinking which 3 C's, what 4 A's I'm going to give them. And I was busy preparing till the time came and I froze. Because sometimes the enemy has some great general knowledge for you. You know what was the general knowledge? Advice from the devil, I guess, on that evening. When all these guys are looking at me, said, Ben, this is not a church. These people are not people who are churchgoers. If they don't like what you say, they will let you know that. That means they'll throw something at you, stones, or beat you up. So be careful. After that, everything I thought just vanished. Mind became blank, froze. And I was looking at the people. They're looking at me. About 5 minutes, they're looking. And it's that point when your brain is saying, speak up, speak up, speak up, say something. And your mouth is saying, who are you talking to me? No coordination here. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what do I do? And suddenly, I don't know if it ever happened to you, when your mouth speaks and your ear hears and you say, oh, I didn't plan to say that. And suddenly that happened. My mouth spoke and my ear heard. And all I said was looking at the screen, and the picture of Jesus was, how many of you want to be a friend of this Jesus? That's it. How many of you want to be a friend? 30 people lift up their hands. Then I got a little more confidence and I said, okay, how many of you want to open your home so that we can come to your home and tell you the stories of Jesus? That's how we started. And 2 people lifted up their hands and said, please come. So this was a Friday. I went there on Tuesday, 3 days later. Went into this home, 30 people. Yeah, I don't know how it is in UK, but in India, everybody say, I'll come. They don't come. Out of 38 people sitting, I said, okay. But now I'm nervous what to tell them. Because this is the first group I'm ever starting. I'm just telling you this story because I want to continue to remind myself of how when we get involved in the Great Commission, when we get involved in the Great Commission, God multiplies your efforts. And I'm enjoying hearing yesterday when you had the recharge and you were bringing people, and I pray that these doors will be open for many more times like that when new people will come into and you are fulfilling the Great Commission, because it's going to multiply. It's going to multiply. And so, 8 people, and I shared the story of the prodigal son. Simple story, don't have to think very much, shared the story. Ready to go. I'm ready to leave. One guy stopped me, said, good story. What do I do with it? And I'm thinking, what do I do with it? I've been to church since I was a kid. I never asked this question. I thought pastor says some things, there's a suggestion, I just hear it, take it out from the next year. I've trained myself all these years. I receive, give out. Receive, give out. By the time I'm out, the only things I ever remembered was a joke. All the jokes he had said. So I was thinking, what do I do? And then again, I thought, what to tell him? So I simply, to push him off, I said, tell your friend. Finished. Walked away. Next week, I came next Tuesday. 25 people there. They said, I don't know what you told them. They told us. Why don't you tell us what you told them? I said, okay. Prodigal son story again. Because now I thought he told his friend. The friends came. Prodigal son again. By now I was excited because I knew it was working. So I said, can you tell your friends and family? Means later on we actually did our training and we put it as circle of influence. Friends, families, colleagues, neighbors and acquaintances. So you put all of these 5 people that you meet every day or every week. Third week, 60 people come. They said, I don't know what you told them. They told us. Why didn't you tell us what you told them? I said, okay, let me tell you. Third week, I told them, I was so excited. Then I got a little more confident and said, how many of you want to receive this Jesus and walk with him? And that's how we started. And then in that 1 week, these guys went to 3 villages. One to his friend's house, one to his auntie's house, uncle's house. And suddenly we were in 4 villages sharing the stories of Jesus. And from 2003, rest is history. Every year, every day, we grow by 25 to 30 of these groups all across South Asia. Because of ordinary people, different kinds of people who God has used. I have people who are, crazy people. One of the first guys, I was an electrician. Electrician who said, I want to be doing the Great Commission. I can't see a plug here. And this, he would go and he's making up the plug and doing the light up. And he said, did you know you can have a light in your life which will never fade away? Jesus, the light of the world. And then there is this other guy who's an ice cream man. He's going out under a tree, giving an ice cream, and he's talking to people about Jesus. Then there is this carpenter who's going out, a sweet shop owner. All different everyday people, the vegetable vendor, the fish guys, all of these guys, as they got the gospel, they were sharing wherever they were. Because the good news or the Great Commission is not to be fulfilled inside the church. That's why you come in to worship, you exit to serve. Amen? Because one thing we learned in the first few years, if you want to see what you've never seen, you've got to do what you've never done. And I just want to leave this here in this church, which I love very much. I'm really thanking you for all that you're getting involved with. But I just pray and hope that all of you would have to stand up and have no seats in this church. How many want to see that day? All the people who come, if you don't come in by 9:30, my goodness, there is no seat. Sister was saying, like, you know, later in a few minutes, people are going to come. But if you come a few minutes, you've got to stand at the door. It'd be amazing that every time you come in, there is a new person sitting here, receiving. And the people who have been coming are standing, just serving them. It'd be amazing. And this started multiplying for us because of common people. Everyday people, fulfilling the Great Commission. I have a guy who catches snakes for a living. After catching a snake, and he brings people, take out a cobra, take out the fangs and, you know, poison. And then he says, okay, you want to come and see a snake? People come, and then he says the story of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve finishes the story, you know, all that. He says, okay. Then he picks up the snake, puts it on the neck of that guy. He said, do you know where you're going to go after you die? He says, every time he puts the snake on somebody, they receive Jesus. There. Right there. Crazy. So, when Jesus said, all power is given unto me, he meant all. All supplying power. All supplying power that this church will ever need to fulfill the Great Commission. When Jesus said, all power is given unto me, he meant all sustaining power. Hebrews 2:18 says, in him that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor that who are tempted. And he talks about the trial of your faith in 1 Peter 1:7. Trial of your faith being made more precious than gold. 2 Timothy, if you suffer, you shall also reign. Because when we are talking about this, we have people who are suffering. Sustain. Could you just show us Orissa? Just quickly, I'll show you what's happening in Orissa. BMS is hugely involved in Orissa. There's persecution in Orissa. They come to church. They don't know whether people are going to come and beat them, drag them out. Some of the places in Orissa, you will see people like kids who have become orphans because extremists were attacking them. Let's take people lying on the streets with blood. People dying. They didn't have enough place to bury them. They had to take them. Riots. Women. Christian women. Crazy. Can we take up this? I know it's just gruesome. People just being killed. Thousands out of their homes. Women. Christian women raped. Pastors beheaded. All kinds of things in between all of that. In between all of that, the Great Commission is being fulfilled. And there we have. In between all of that, you have a fellowship like this. Now we have 1,800 of those. 1,800 of those that BMS is making possible. That people are out there sharing the gospel. I have fathers who have lost their children, 3-year-old children. And the extremists find out. Extremists find out that there are Christians and this man is preaching the gospel. His child was in the hospital. I don't have that picture on this one, but you know, I have it on another thing. But this little girl is in the hospital. They bribed the doctor and then they put poison in her drip. And she dies 3 years old. And this father, he calls him a David. We call him Pastor David. Picks up his daughter, buries her, goes to the next village and starts a church all over again. If you want to see what you've never seen, you've got to do what you've never done. Because if we do what we can do, God will do what we cannot do. Because there are many things that you and I can do, but there are many things that you and I cannot do. But the problem is that our enemy has hypnotized the children of God from doing the things that they can do. That we are not getting to the point for the things that we can do. That God is not in the place that he can do what we cannot do. And this is my prayer this morning. That we would get to that place. And ask ourselves some questions. Some questions where we need to answer in the mirror and say, what more can I do? So that God can do what I cannot do. And people, because when Jesus said all power is given unto me, he meant all sustaining power. When Jesus said all power is given unto me, he meant all saving power. All saving power that we may ever need. You want to go back to the storyboard? I'll just show you one little boy's picture and then I'll do a video and then we'll finish. We're supposed to finish at 12? 12, okay, good. I have 5 minutes here. Yeah. We have to do the fast run on this. This is one of the first. Well, this is one of the first imams that got a Muslim Bible, which is called Kitabul Muqaddas. And if you see this Bible, I just wanted to see this because in green in color, it looks like a Holy Quran actually. So this is what goes around, and we have thousands of jamaats where people are coming to find Jesus. In fact, we're going to bring that home right here in England and do some of this stuff with people who are doing things in Bradford and other areas that we want to work here in small groups. But let's go ahead. I have a young man. When I say 23,000 groups, the groups look like this. Under a tree, in a home, 15, 16 people, 20 people. Some areas are even more. We try to make it smaller so that they can grow faster. So this is, if you see, they're praying like this. The Bible doesn't talk pray like this. So they're praying like this because they were praying anyway like that earlier. So praying like this needs a heart. Hand where the style is, really. So they're praying, let's go on. And then she was a priestess that came to the Lord. She tore our entire temple down. When Jesus says, all power is given unto me, he meant all saving power. I don't have much time. I was there when she was taking down the temple, taking out the idols, burning it up. And now the temple has become a place of worship. People are finding Jesus. People, this is Bhutan. You know why it is dark? Because in Bhutan, you finish your Sunday service by 6 in the morning. Before anybody gets to know, by 4 in the morning they start, 6 in the morning they finish. And if people just give out everything that they have from their previous life or the charming or the witchcraft that they have done, and they take it out and they're burning it in the middle of the night. Because people have found Jesus. Amen. People have found Jesus. Let's go ahead. This is just an amazing story. This guy, 18-year-old boy, young people have got about, if there are some of the younger people here, I see some of the younger guys here, good to have you in service. And here is a guy who was in a fellowship at the border of Bangladesh and West Bengal in my state. So I was really taken up with my state, West Bengal, a little away from Calcutta, and villages after villages were coming to the Lord, where this boy was sitting in one of the groups, and his name is Rafiqul. And he found Jesus from a Muslim background. And now he was very fervent, learning of the word. He said, I will take 10 of those green Bibles that you saw in a bag, and I will swim across the river, because there's a river that divides India and Bangladesh. West Bengal, because West Bengal and Bangladesh was East Bengal. If you know our history, it became a country in 1970s. So he was wanting to jump in, swim across with the Bibles, 10 of those, in a river which is with currents. It actually, this kind of rivers are all feeders, joins into the bay. So these rivers are not standing. It's like really crazy. And that also at midnight. So he's ready to jump when the border security force people see him. And as he's ready to jump, they start pointing the gun at him and he's saying, you stop or we shoot you. Because it is it's the borderline. So you just cannot just go on the other side. But he wanted to do what he had never done, to see what he's never seen. So he went out, started running. As he's running, they're chasing him. He takes out the bag, throws it into the water. Stands there thinking they will check him, nothing on him. They leave him. He'll jump back again, find the bag, and take it across. I mean, that is ambitious. In the middle of the night, where the river width, the width of the river is more than half a kilometer, which is not really less for swimming. And here he is. They catch him, take him for 3 days into the military camp. After 3 days, he comes, no bag on the river. He's a little disappointed. He said, but I'll try it next month again. Goes back home, starts praying, thinking, 3 weeks' time. He has two people come to see him. Two people come to see him and say, why didn't you put your name there? He said, what are you talking? He said, we are looking for you for 9 hours. They were a little happy to see him, but also a little upset that they were 9 hours looking for him. Because he said, we got your books. I was washing my face. I got the bag. I got your book. I opened the book, and you know, when we give out Bibles to somebody in India, in different parts of Asia, we always underline. We never assume that people know the Bible and how to read it. We never assume. I never assume that people know how to read the Bible in the church. Because very soon we used to joke about this and say, let's go to Hezekiah, the book of Hezekiah. Everybody's going to Hezekiah. Everybody's going to Hezekiah. So it's crazy. So he said, he go to the Bible. He would underline John 3:16, Romans 3:23, all these little things that people could read. He said, I opened up and I read that. I told my brother, he read that. He told his friend, he read that. And we enjoyed reading this. So five villages are reading this book you sent us. Tell us what to do. And that's how we went to our first country. From India, West Bengal, one state. Before we moved into another state of India, we went into Bangladesh. And today we have 1,200 such jamaats in Bangladesh because of this 18-year-old boy who said, if I want to see what I've never seen, I've got to do what I've never done. So when Jesus said, all power is given unto me, he meant all saving power. When Jesus said, all power is given unto me, he meant all strengthening power that you and I may ever need to fulfill the Great Commission in our generation. I'll ask Matt, even as I finish, would you just show that video? It's a 3-minute video I bring you from Vietnam, which is a communist country, and our guy who was 13 years in prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Doosan remembered the night well, the night when it had truly begun. It was August 1996. His wife, Thai Noom, had complained of a sore head and had retired to bed early. He was awakened in the early morning by her moans and violent convulsions. By the time it stopped, she was paralyzed down the right side of her body. He rushed to the Buddhist temple on the far side of the village. They chanted prayers and mantras for 2 days, but Thai Noom's condition remained the same. And then Christians arrived from another village, further west, far from the Hanoi region. They preached about a God named Jesus and asked if anyone in the village needed prayer. They knocked on Doosan's door, wanting to pray over his wife. He didn't understand this religion or who this Jesus was, but he led them to her, and they surrounded her bed and prayed. They prayed strange prayers, thanking Jesus for already healing Thai Noom through the power of his blood. 3 days later, she was completely healed. Doosan and Thai Noom sought out the Christians, asking about Jesus. They gave their lives to him. Doosan felt the call to preach the gospel to the hundreds of villages in his region. He had no idea how to begin, so he just went to the market and preached. At first he was ignored, but driven by his passion for Jesus and Jesus' passion for the lost, he persevered and began to attract an audience.
One night, two police officers knocked on my door. They had received complaints about my preaching. I asked who had complained. They were Buddhist followers, and some of them were members of my own family. I said, I am doing no harm. There is no law against following another religion. Surely I can preach. They told me that if I continued, they'd put me in jail. I stood at my usual spot, proclaiming the name above all names, placing New Testaments into people's hands as they passed by. Then I saw the police van come around the corner, and my heart sank. After a night in a cold cell, they interrogated me. Why are you doing this? They said. You've been a Buddhist all your life. They offered to release me if I agreed to stop preaching. I could not agree to this. They threw me back in the cell and kept me there for a week. I worried about my family, but could not agree to their demands. I prayed. On the ninth day, they released me with a warning not to preach. I talked it through with Thi Nam, and we prayed. We felt the Lord telling me to continue. Over the next 13 years, I was regularly imprisoned for preaching the word. I could have had complete freedom any time by renouncing my faith, but it was impossible for me to stop proclaiming him. One afternoon, my prayers were interrupted by the prison guard. He told me that the warden wanted to see me. As I walked to the warden's office, I prayed. Sit down, he said. You have been in this place a long time. You have not been an easy prisoner. the rules do not apply to you, apparently. If you are released, he said to me, will you go back to your Christian preaching? I had been imprisoned in this place for almost a year. I was desperate to be with my family, but I could not deny my Lord. So I said, I will preach Jesus, yes. The warden then reached for a piece of paper in the drawer of his desk. It was a certificate, a license to preach without hindrance. I could not believe my eyes. In Hanoi, I asked. No, said the warden. In all Vietnam.
Suddenly, after many years of trying to bring the gospel to his own village, the whole of Vietnam had become his mission field. Since joining Big Life in 2011, Doosan has planted 53 churches and is just getting started.
Amen. And Jesus said, amen. Let's begin to the Lord. And Jesus said, all power has been given to me. Amen. I'm wondering, we could finish this with a prayer. I just want to pray quickly with you. We want to close your eyes and maybe let's just ask ourselves, Lord, what would I do to fulfill the Great Commission in my generation? Have I done all that I could? Would you show me, Lord? Would you open my eyes to the field? That would be my neighbors. That would be people around me. That would be so many different things that I've never seen. Speak to me, Lord. Father, we come before you to thank you for one of the most important parts of the Great Commission that you have already taken care of. All power, all authority is given unto you in heaven and earth. And therefore you call us to go. And I pray that as a church, here, Lord, we are going to bless each one. Speak to each one. Show each one. Energize each one. So that the doors of this church would always be open. For the lost, for the seeker. That as we go out, that there are people out there who need to hear the good news. And see the Great Commission fulfilled in this city of Slough. In Jesus' name, amen.